Loro mata maxefo niana roma.
That intro music was taken from Timorese singer-songwriter Ergo Lemos's song Dame Iha Timor, or Peace in Timor, off his Ohelele album. Timor-Leste is only 1 hour's flight from Darwin. In fact, it's closer to Darwin than Brisbane is. Australia's Federal Attorney General, George Brandis, on August 11, dined with Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, ex-General Wiranto, in the West Papuan capital of Jayapura. Here, I'll just let Professor Clinton Fernandez of the University of New South Wales explain who Wiranto is.
Wiranto is a former general in the Indonesian military. He was the Minister for Defence and the commander of the armed forces of Indonesia in 1998 and 1999 during the fall of Suharto and also the crisis in East Timor.
In 2004, then-Major Fernandez completed Reluctant Saviour, an extended essay on Australia's role in Timor-Leste's struggle for independence. In 2014, Professor Fernandez, at the time Associate Professor, applied for access to Australian diplomatic papers and intelligence on Indonesian military operations in Timor-Leste. I began by asking Professor Fernandez, what was Wiranto's role in Timor-Leste in 1998-99?
Wiranto was, in his capacity as commander of the armed forces, had command authority over all Indonesian uniformed personnel, and he was the highest officer in the chain of command for all military and police forces throughout Indonesia. So every chief of staff of the branches of the Army, Navy, Air Force and the police reported directly to Wiranto.
What happened in Timor-Leste in 1999 during the time Wiranto was in control?
There was a ballot on independence for East Timor. The details of this go back to the 21st of May 1998, when Suharto was forced out of office after 32 years in power. The independence of Timor became a live matter once again. It was always live inside Timor, but it was not an international issue of the level it became after Suharto resigned. In January 1999, the new president, Habibie, announced that there would be a ballot in which the Timorese would be allowed to decide their future. You know, should they stay inside Indonesia or should they become independent? The Indonesian military was opposed to the ballot, and so they began a campaign of trying to undermine the ballot by terrorizing the people in East Timor. Wiranto, as the commander-in-chief, was in charge of the overall structure of the military, and the task force that was responsible for unleashing terror against the Timorese to try and engineer a ballot result that would show the Timorese voting to stay inside Indonesia reported to him and would terrorize the independent supporters using a combination of political tactics, you know, propaganda, electioneering, pamphleteering, and terror, straightforward kidnapping, murder, etc. The commander of that task force was a general called Zaki Anwar Makarim, and Wiranto was in very close contact with Zaki Anwar. In fact, he's on the record as stating that Zaki Anwar was his personal representative in East Timor, I'm quoting, that his reports become his daily breakfast, unquote. So in other words, he's kept fully advised of all Indonesian operations in Timor. As the commander of the armed forces, responsible for the violence in Timor.
In 2004, an arrest warrant was issued for Wiranto by the UN-led special panels for serious crimes in Timor-Leste. Could you explain what is this special panels for serious crimes?
Interfed established order in Timor, the international peacekeeping force. And once that had happened, the United Nations Security Council established a transitional authority in East Timor. That transitional authority was required to prepare East Timor for its transition to independence. Now, the United Nations basically betrayed the Timorese in that respect, because instead of conducting the prosecutions of suspected war criminals at an international tribunal, like, you know, in The Hague and so on, as was done for other war criminals, the UN left it all to the transitional authority in East Timor, which created a very under-resourced organization in Dili as part of the impoverished local court structure. One has to understand that, according to the most reliable figures, about 80% of all the infrastructure in the country was razed to the ground. And so in this totally impoverished society and the court structure, the war crimes trials are supposed to be held. It's just farcical. Nevertheless, the transitional authority did its best It established the Serious Crimes Unit to conduct investigations and to prepare indictments. Indictments are statements of charges about a person's guilt. They form the basis of the accusatory brief, the prosecution's brief. And the Transitional Authority also established special panels for serious crimes. Special panels are a hybrid court located within the district court in Dili, and so these special panels had international judges, and they would hear cases involving serious criminal offences, like, for example, war crimes, crimes against humanity, murder, sexual offences, torture, that kind of thing. The prosecutor in February 2003 filed an indictment with the special panels for serious crimes against General Viranto, General Makarim, and several others. What happened then was, because these indictments are the primary accusatory instruments, the prosecutor also applied for arrest warrants for all these defendants, including Viranto. To support this claim for a request for an arrest warrant, the prosecutor filed 34 binders of evidence containing 13,000 pages and the statements of 1,500 witnesses to the special panels. I mean, that's the evidence against Viranto and his co-defendants was overwhelming. And so the special panels then issued a 20-page warrant authorizing the arrest of Viranto and several other defendants for the crimes against humanity of murder, deportation, and persecution. Viranto immediately called this whole thing, you know, a bit of a farce. He was living in Indonesia. Indonesia wasn't going to extradite Viranto to Timor. But what happened was that the East Timorese president, Shinani Gusmao, immediately called the general prosecutor to his office and forced him to withdraw the Viranto indictment for political reasons. Now, the warrant and the indictment are still live. It's just that the only state that can activate them is East Timor.
We're speaking with Professor Clinton Fernandez from the University of New South Wales about George Brandis's meeting with ex-General Wiranto in West Papua earlier this month, Wiranto's history in Timor-Leste, and Australia's complex relationship with both Indonesia and Timor. Time, what was Australia's relationship with Indonesia, firstly between 75 and 99, and then I guess with Indonesia and Timor-Leste since 99?
As far as policymaking is concerned, East Timor is really the inconvenient country. You know, we'd rather it didn't exist. We've always preferred to have the archipelago under, not always, but at least since the 60s, we preferred to have the archipelago united under one state, you know, Indonesia. And East Timor is kind of the inconvenient country. We just didn't want it to be independent. When Portugal decolonized, we went out of our way to urge Indonesia to annex Timor. And Australian foreign policy at the time was committed to defending Indonesian rule over Timor from international criticism, and especially from Australian domestic criticism.
Given that Wiranto was in Timor-Leste and he has been dining with Brandis in West Papua, do we see that there's a link here between what happened in Timor-Leste and what happens in West Papua?
Well, it's the same military, of course, that's operating in West Papua that was operating in Timor. I don't exactly know what Senator Brandis was doing in West Papua. Was he there in order to look at various aid projects that are being funded up there? You know, I know that there's an $18 million water program that Australia is funding in West Papua. We don't really know what's going on about there. And I think the lack of senators who are able to ask questions about this and estimates is a factor that affects this as well. Senator Nick Xenophon asked a few questions about this. Senator John Madigan of the Democratic Labour Party was quite active, but he is no longer a senator. And so the extent to which the Senate gets involved in asking questions is a limiting factor for us. So we'll have to wait and see if anything comes out of that. But immediately after East Timor, there were some of the officers who were involved, the Indonesian officers involved in the destruction of Timor. Some of them were promoted and posted to West Papua. Now, after, you know, international attention was drawn to that fact, many of them were moved out, and they were replaced by others who did not have a Timor background. And, of course, at the passage of time, it's just a function of biology that there will be Indonesian officers who've got no Timor background. But that doesn't mean the brutality has ended in West Papua. Certainly, I don't think things are as bad as you see some of the activists say in West Papua. There is no, you know, genocide has very precise meaning, and in that sense, there is no genocide occurring in West Papua. But the extent to which the Indonesian military can act with impunity is the same.
With this background of violence, is it logical for Australia's Federal Attorney General to meet with Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs? Would that make sense for them to meet?
It's something that could not have happened in the past. There would have been too many people in Parliament and in the streets, the social movements and so on, protesting about that. Suharto was never able to visit Australia, apart from one visit in April 75. Indonesian ministers and so on dreaded coming to Australia because of the protests. I have to say that that's fallen off. There simply isn't enough organized strength holding the government to account or opposing this kind of behavior. Does it make sense to do it? I just don't know what Brandis would have been talking to Wiranto about. You know, I really don't know what the substance of the conversation would have been. You know, the defining question for Australian foreign policy was our policy towards Timor in the last quarter of the century. Now, Brandis can meet with a war criminal, and there's no problem now, apparently.
That was Professor Clinton Fernandez ending that report. For more information on Timor-Leste, go to Clinton's Timor Companion through the School of Humanities and Social Sciences at University of New South Wales or www.laohamutuk.org. That's laohamutuk.org. You're listening to 4ZZZ FM.
Maksefonia na roman Fulan hofi tumos sena roman Hori foroman waratimor Hori aturu lorong okalang Atunure timoroan moriso hakmate Tasi luan hofo bote bezdumi Udang bentu hosikalohan habo koraine Betung bamota sulile morai hosirai ulung toraikun Atunune sefomoris aiharai timornian Ratimo, how more is bad. Rainebe, how ram fakar fatim. How more is emate ho. Maski susar mosu oyo imbaho. Ita tenki abura esta. Iha Timor, hori hado kita, mosi susar mosu, oyoy maturune ita se la terza, oh Timor, maturune ita se la tanista, oh Timor, maturune ori mori sadami, kasiluan hofoho bote besduni udang bentu hosikaloha habokon raine betumba mota sulile morai hosirai ulung toraiku aturune se fomori sai harai timonia Rai timon, how more is bad. Rai neve, how ram fakan fati. How more is se mate ho. Aski susar mo su oyo inba ho. Eta tenki haburastame E hati mor Hori hado okita Hosi susar mosu Oi oi bawa tururai